Hour 2 of the Morning After on Sports Grid. Thanks for tuning in on SiriusXM Channel 204. With Ben Stevens, I'm Ariel Epstein. We've got you covered till noon Eastern time on the grid. Coming up this hour, it is the Hour of Chaos. We're going to talk college football. We've got some great guests coming on. A new guest, in fact. Mike Gilbert going to join us and talk some NFL lines. We're also going to have mid-major Matt, our weekly guest, to talk college football lines. First, we're going to throw some NBA into the mix. The NBA has decided that a month early, they are going to make headlines. No surprise here that Ben Simmons has, again, reiterated he does not want to be part of the Philadelphia 76ers. And according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, the Sixers star is not going to report to the opening of training camp. Simmons hasn't spoken to the team since late August. He was in a meeting and he communicated this message to the Sixers officials saying he will not be part of the team. He's still got 4 years left on his deal, Ben. How much can, this is funny, Ben Simmons. Oh. How much do you expect to report? No, I'm just kidding. How much do you expect Ben Simmons to actually get traded?
Do you think that I have a better feel for this story because he is Ben Simmons and I am Ben Stevens? Two B's yes. in our initial. Maybe is it bullarchy? If you get what I'm saying there, I didn't say the bad word.
This is BS.
You're welcome, Greg
this
Sussman.
Is BS.
It is BS. From one BS to another, let's cut the BS. And there is no longer any BS in Philadelphia. Ben Simmons is done. It's over. Finn, he has played his last game for the Philadelphia 76ers. He will not report. He will not play again for Philadelphia. So the next question then would logically be, what is next for Ben Simmons and what is next for the Sixers? What will Daryl Morey try to get in return? Because they were asking a king's ransom for Ben Simmons initially if he wanted to be. Hey, you need somebody to play point guard for the Philadelphia 76ers. I could show you my sixth grade rec basketball stat line. Pretty good floor general, just like Ben Simmons is. I can't guard 1 through 4 like Ben Simmons can do naturally, but not bad. Not bad. Listen, in pickup basketball, I call out every single screen. Right, coming, left. I'm so good at that, it's ridiculous. I could fill up the stat book.
So you communicate with your team. You're already better than Ben Simmons.
Whoa, that is something. I would be willing to shoot a layup down late in an Eastern Conference playoff game against the Atlanta Hawks to try to advance my teams. That's for sure. That's not really the point, though. What we can focus on is what happens next. Who has the leverage? Does Ben Simmons have the leverage right now? I feel like what he might be able to ask for in the bounty that would get returned to Philadelphia has lessened a little bit. Is it the Philadelphia 76ers? Can they still demand a really high trade fee for Ben Simmons? Maybe. Would the rest of the NBA teams possibly interested in Ben Simmons be willing to offer up draft capital at this point? I'm not entirely sure. So that remains the biggest piece to this puzzle and what happens. But what we do know are the future odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And right now, Philadelphia, even with all this Ben Simmons drama, is still the third shortest odds to win the Eastern Conference currently at 9-1. That's pretty far behind the Brooklyn Nets, who are the favorites, and the reigning NBA champions in the Milwaukee Bucks. One thing to note, Ariel, when you look at the NBA Finals odds, the NBA Championship future market for this upcoming 2021-22 NBA season, the Philadelphia 76ers are plus 1,800, still the third shortest odds for any team out of the Eastern Conference. But the 18-1 actually got longer from where it was prior to NBA free agency starting when Philly was 16-1. The Sixers didn't really do much at the free agency deadline and now have a very big trade piece potentially in their future as well.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at, too. Welcome to our Sports Grid Radio audience, second hour of the Morning After. SiriusXM, Channel 204, the Mightier 1090. With Ben Stevens, I'm Ariel Epstein. Found it interesting back in July, right after the NBA Finals, when these NBA championship lines came out, the Sixers were 16-1. Then, as you mentioned, it moved to 18-1 after free agency. You, again, would think that this wasn't potentially baked into the line. You would think the odds makers maybe did it half-baked. No, this news came out and the line still never moved. The odds makers just were planning for Ben Simmons to not be part of this team, to not start with them. The difference is, I remember the same story, and I always compare these kinds of situations to what we saw with James Harden last year in Houston. James Harden tried to make the same argument, hey, I'm not showing up. He didn't show up. Then all of a sudden starts playing the first few games of the season, then decides to pull himself out after a few regular season games for Houston, then ends up getting traded. Curious if Ben Simmons would end up having to do that. There is a fine for him to not go to all these practices, which he's very well aware of, according to the reports. There's a fine for him to not be playing. The problem is someone has to be willing to take in his four-year deal, Ben. Who would be a good fit for Ben Simmons, and who would be a good fit to go replace him in Philly?
Well, Ben Simmons has said all along he wants to go out west. He wants to play for the Golden State Warriors. You would think by the makeup of Ben Simmons' playmaking ability, and yeah, I mean, everybody wants to play for the Golden State Warriors. Again, Steve Kerr, I also call out a lot of screens and pick up basketball. But I think the ability to floor general and facilitate would be good. But he's not exactly an offensive threat at this point, and they already have Draymond Green, who is slightly aging now past the age of 30. I'm not entirely sure where Ben Simmons goes next, and that's the biggest question. However, Ben Simmons, if he does end up on a good team, 130-1 to win the NBA MVP for this upcoming season. I was surprised to see that FanDuel still had those odds up for Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid, by the way, the person he leaves behind in Philadelphia, plus 800 to win the NBA MVP, the third shortest odds on the board right now.
The reason I don't mind Embiid is because if the Sixers somehow find someone to replace Simmons as an upgrade, that helps for the Sixers to get better, which then gives Embiid a better shot at looking really good, because the Sixers could be good. You just have to hope for no injuries. Coming up next, Mike Gilbert from our Nexstar affiliate, WBRE. We're going to talk some NFL. You're listening here on SiriusXM, Channel 204, the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back on the Morning After on Sports Grid. It is SiriusXM, Channel 204. With Ben Stevens, I'm Ariel Epstein. Joining us now from our Nexstar affiliate out in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, it is Mike Gilbert. I'm so excited to have you on because we're going to talk some NFL lines. Mike, thanks for coming on with us.
Guys, thanks for having me. Good morning.
Now, you work in local news, but you like the gambling world. How'd you get into the gambling space?
Oh, man, ever since I was in high school, I love betting the lines, and everybody... I'm the kid in the friend group that people call and are like, Mike, who do you like today? Mike, who should I start or sit in fantasy, blah, blah, blah. So I've always been into it, especially the NFL.
Awesome. Well, let's start there. And now we've got, the lines out, obviously, since before even this week began with those look ahead spots. Which line stood out to you the most?
Yeah, well, you start in Pennsylvania. The Steelers fans are getting a little restless, and it's not just because of the injuries. I mean, it is because of the injuries. You got injuries in the secondary with Joe Hayden, Devin Bush. Obviously, Big Ben hurt now, T.J. Watt dealing with the groin issue. But you got two rookies starting on the offensive line, and you wonder why Big Ben gets hurt, right? He gets, as Alex Fasano said in his update, he gets hit 10 times, sacked twice. They're at key positions, too. You have one at center, one at left tackle. You look at the Bengals, they're pretty close to being 2-0, right? I mean, Joe Burrow had that weird stretch where he threw three picks in three attempts, one of them taken back to the house by Roquan Smith. But that connection with Jamar Chase has been there. He's got weapons on offense. He's got T. Higgins, and he's finding Chase, who had a terrible preseason, as you guys know. He's kind of shaking that off. Pittsburgh has to get the run game going as well. So you look at this game, Cincinnati +4.5. I think it's moved to +4 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I think another letdown game. I know they lost last week, but another letdown game for Pittsburgh might be in the cards. This is going to be an old-school AFC North battle. Run the ball. Najee Harris has got to get going. They'll give the ball to Joe Mixon as well on the other side. So I'm liking Cincinnati here. I'm liking the under 44.5 just because these AFC North matchups, they like the unders in these games.
I'm looking at this line right now, Mike, and it has moved even since when you started talking. Now it's Pittsburgh -3. Maybe we got to go get some breaking news on what Big Ben Roethlisberger might be doing this week, or maybe TJ Watt. Many of those injury concerns for the Pittsburgh Steelers on the defensive side of the ball. Also in the state of Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia Eagles, who I'm sure you cover there in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. The Eagles, a good win in week number one. Not a bad result, I guess, against the San Francisco 49ers this past week in their home opener against the Niners. But Philly right now, their team win total on the FanDuel Sportsbook is currently live at 7.5. The under still having more juice. If you're looking at the Eagles this year, Mike, what do you think is more in play? The over of that 7.5 wins or the under?
Well, you look what happened, you know, this past week with Brandon Graham being out. That hurts their front, obviously. And, you know, it's going to come down to whether or not Jalen Hurts is going to step up. 7.5 wins, you know, you look at their schedule. They are in the NFC East. I'm leaning towards the over in that one, just with the even money there.
Now, when it comes to the NFC East, that division is just an absolute mess always. And now you've got Washington, who has a good defense. However, they were not able to start their season strong. And then you've got Dallas, who lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, just edge out a win in week two. The Giants still winless. And then you've got the Eagles. How do you see this division panning out come the end of the season?
Well, you know, again, this division, all these teams have a chance, right? Let's start with the Giants. We'll start with the +950 Giants. Daniel Jones looked a little bit better, taking care of the football a little bit more against Washington, right? Eagles, again, same thing we just talked about. Washington, Taylor Heineke's been exciting. And then Dallas, obviously the favorite here. Dak Prescott has been managing football games. The surprise to me was Tony Pollard going for 109 yards on just 13 carries. It's a little early for me to be looking at this right now and give you guys a pick, but I do like Dallas in this division moving down. You got to look at the best quarterback in this division. That's Dak Prescott.
The Giants, the longest odds in the NFC East. They are winless so far this year at 0-2. The other New York team, the Jets, also winless at 0-2. The Jets, a very heavy underdog this week against the Denver Broncos, getting 10.5 points against Denver. Mike, what do you make of that game?
Yeah, they're big underdogs, but for good reason, right? I mean, you can't blame the offensive line on Zach Wilson's performance after this game like you could in week one. He was making throws that he would make in college that might have been okay at BYU, but definitely not in the NFL, right? Mike LaFleur, Jets offensive coordinator, not looking like the genius that everybody's been making him out to be, right? Zach Wilson, especially with the run game, they really couldn't get anything going offensively. Now, Bill Belichick, 23-6 after that win versus rookie quarterback since 2000. So you got to take that into consideration. But I think this week on Denver's side, Nick Chubb injured. That doesn't matter, right? Jets facing another tough defense on the road. And, you know, combine that with the Jets' offensive struggles, it's 10.5 is not a line that the Jets are going to cover, in my opinion.
Another line that stood out to you on your card, you like the Arizona Cardinals -7.5 against the Jacksonville Jaguars, a winless Jacksonville Jaguars team. How much are you buying into what the Cardinals are selling?
Well, this seems pretty obvious, right? I mean, Kyler Murray, another good game, 400 yards passing, 3 touchdowns on a rushing score, right? But for Jacksonville, you look on the other side. After that first drive that Trevor Lawrence had, they could get nothing going offensively. Defensively, they have some injuries, right? C.J. Henderson out. Chris Claybrooks, the backup, exposed after that. And Kyler Murray just putting up points. And neither of these defenses really have been able to stop anything. So you like the over in this game. You like Arizona. And Kyler Murray, top overall fantasy quarterback, he's been looking great so far this year, as you guys know.
Mike, you are a Penn State grad. You do work in the state of Pennsylvania. I'm not entirely sure the geography and how far away State College is from Wilkes-Barre, but what have you made out of the Nittany Lions' perfect 3-0 start this year, looking very impressive?
It's so funny because Penn State fans are so tough on this team, and they're so tough on James Franklin, at least around here. You know, they've got wins on the road. They won on the road at Wisconsin week one. That was obviously big. Then you get Ball State. Then you get that big win. At night, you know, during the whiteout against Auburn, and Sean Clifford's looked great. I think Jahan Dotson could be a sneaky Heisman favorite, the wide receiver out of Penn State. But Sean Clifford has really been impressive, as has the defense for the Nittany Lions, who are now ranked 6th.
It's amazing. In those college football national championship odds, you've got Georgia and Alabama, who are sitting there at 2-1 to both win the national championship. However, everybody else has longer odds than 10-1, including Clemson and Ohio State. How do you see the national championship playoff picture looking?
Well, you know, Alabama obviously is head and shoulders above the rest. I don't care what happened this past week against Florida, right? I mean, they are far and away the cream of the crop. Clemson, I don't know what happened against Georgia Tech. Ohio State, obviously, with the loss. Oregon, they beat the Stony Brook Seawolves. Ariel, you used to cover them, right? My dad's a Stony Brook grad.
Yes.
I think Penn State can sneak into the top four. You know, they do have a couple tough games they got to go. They got to still have to play Michigan, obviously. Michigan State or just beat Miami. But I could see Penn State sneaking in and obviously, you know, Oklahoma in that mix as well.
I think that Big Ten East division is going to be fascinating. Ohio State still the favorites to win the Big Ten at minus 140. Penn State plus 500. Mike, you mentioned that you are from the New York City area. We asked this question on Benny and the Bets coming up later this week. I ask you quickly here, only about 40 seconds left. Who gets a win first, the New York Jets or the New York Giants?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the way Zach Wilson looks right now, and it's not entirely his fault, but you got to think that you got to go with the more experienced quarterback and the guy who's won in the league before. I think the Giants get a win before the Jets do. And I think the Jets have a real shot at going 0-17.
Oof, maybe everyone last year was just a year too early on them. And the New York Giants get the Atlanta Falcons this weekend. Thank you so much, Mike Gilbert. Catch him at WBRE in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, our Nexstar affiliate. We'll see you again soon. And good luck this weekend to any bets you place.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Coming up next, we're going to break down some more college football futures markets. Just alluded to it a little bit there. We got a lot of movement in the national championship odds. You're listening here on SiriusXM Channel 204, the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the morning after on Sports Grid, it is SiriusXM Channel 204 with Ben Stevens. I'm Ariel Epstein. Make sure to check us out on social media, Sports Grid and Sports Grid TV. We have two different handles. You can go and check out anything that you may have missed, whether it's from the show or any of the best bets of the day. Now we're going to go see how the futures market's moving. Let's get to market movers. Big Ten, Ben, put the hat on. It is time to talk college football. Got this idea last week because we were looking at the odds like very nonchalantly during the show. Realized that it was Georgia and Alabama who both ended up with the same odds all of a sudden at 2-1 to win the Natty. Everyone else is just falling off. Clemson, 12-1. Ohio State, 12-1. Here's how the market has moved on a lot of these teams. Alabama has stayed 2-1. Georgia, back on September 1st, Georgia was 5-1. They're now 2-1. Clemson was 4-1, the second shortest odds on the board behind Alabama. Clemson now has the third shortest odds at 12-1. Ohio State also moves from 6-1 to 12-1. And Oklahoma, 8-1, has now moved against them a lot to 14-1. Here are the two that gained value. Penn State, well, not gained value, lost value, but gained value in the eyes of getting shorter odds and looking better in the odds market. Penn State moves from 80-1 to 40-1. Odds get cut in half. Oregon, 60-1. Back on September 1st, now at 16-1. 60-1 moves to 16-1. Ben, out of Penn State and Oregon, let's start with the teams that had the odds get shorter on them. Out of those two teams, which one is the line move most warranted?
Well, I think the line move is most warranted on the Oregon Ducks. And still, the value is there on Oregon. 60-1 to 16-1 might seem like the value has been sapped out, but that is not the case because Oregon right now, with how bad the Pac-12 has been this year, is set up for tons of success and a very easy slate through the Pac-12 conference into the Pac-12 conference championship game. And if they are an unbeaten Pac-12 champ, they're going to make the college football playoff unless something is crazy down there at CFP headquarters in the Texas area. Because Oregon's path right now, Ariel, is so favorable. And again, anytime you look at any futures market, you must correlate it to other futures market that set the stage. What I mean by that is we are looking at the college football playoff national championship market. But how does Oregon get there? I just mentioned it. They have to win the Pac-12, and they most likely have to do that with a perfect 12-0 record, 13-0 after capturing the Pac-12 championship title. So let's look at that path for the Oregon Ducks. Right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Oregon is minus 125 to win the Pac-12. They are in the minus money category as an odds-on favorite for the first time this season. They were the favorites prior to the year, but hovering closer to plus 250, plus 300 even, to capture the Pac-12 championship. Now look at the rest of the Pac-12 North that has flat out been a huge disappointment so far this season. And I know we're only 3 weeks in to this college football season with week four on the horizon. The rest of the Pac-12 North currently has a combined losing record of 7-8. That sets up so well for Oregon. And one of their biggest contenders in the Pac-12 North was Washington, who is 1-2 so far this year with a loss to an FCS opponent in Montana. When you look at Washington's odds right now to win the Pac-12, they have the shortest odds for the team outside of that North Division, or in that North Division, I should say, at 16-1. But those odds at plus 1600 are the sixth shortest overall for the Pac-12, a league that only has 12 teams. So right there in the middle of the pack, yeah, Oregon's path to a Pac-12 championship, to a bid in the college football playoff, right now looks pretty good. So 60-1, a huge move to 16-1, but there is still value on the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, Oregon's that team that just out of nowhere, we said that someone in that conference, Ben, was gonna surprise us. We just knew in that conference someone was gonna surprise us, and Oregon is that team. For Penn State's starting out strong. And they are undefeated so far to start the season. A huge difference than what we saw last year, a team that was winless, the worst start ever in program history. And now this year, turning things around. Ben, what is it about this Penn State team that's different than what we saw last year?
Can we get a "We Are" chant real quick for somebody that went to Penn State for 2 years? Penn State!
Do I only give half
the cheer? I thought you were
going
to do it one more time.
You got rejected. Do I only do half the cheer because I was there half the time?
What would be half the cheer? Because you know they go, "We are Penn State," back and forth. So would you just say "we"? Because that would be it?
No, I think it's just "we are," and we leave out the Penn State part.
So you never get to say Penn State. I can say it, though, as Big Ten Ben. Is that what you're saying? Because that makes sense to me.
Or maybe we just do the cheer once, and then it's just you don't do it a second time.
It's done. We're done. We've hit our quota here for a "We are" chant. On the morning
I did lose
after.
My cell phone. I went back senior year, visited some friends that I did have there, and I lost my cell phone at a bar on game day. Actually, it fell in the toilet. I didn't lose it, but sad story.
Oh, the truth comes out. We'll have to dive into that one a little bit throughout the commercial break. But let's focus on those Nittany Lions in Happy Valley, because it has been very impressive to start out this year. A perfect 3-0 record with huge wins over two teams ranked in the top 15 in Wisconsin and Auburn at the time that Penn State played both of those teams. Two marquee wins, one in a Big Ten opener, the other in a non-conference battle. So right now it's almost a little bit shocking to only see Penn State's odds cut in half from 80-1 to 40-1. Penn State now ranks sixth in the country. Again, you must correlate the markets when it comes to the futures market. If we're talking national championship, you have to talk the path for Penn State in the Big Ten Conference Championship. And they are tied for the second shortest odds right now with the Iowa Hawkeyes at plus 500. Ohio State, despite one loss to Oregon and some of their struggles, especially defensively, still the odds-on favorite to win the Big Ten Conference Championship at minus 140 at the moment. That is important because that plus 500 for Penn State is pretty much their odds to win the Big Ten East Division. Because if they do that and they can knock off Ohio State from that top spot in the East, the path is very favorable for Penn State to face a foe from the Big Ten West. And I say face a foe from the Big Ten West because in 3 weeks, Penn State travels to Iowa City to take on the fifth-ranked Hawkeyes. That is going to be a game that has huge ramifications, not just in the Big Ten Conference, but in the college football playoff picture as well. Ahead of that, though, for Penn State, they have Villanova this week at home, Indiana next Saturday at home. Both of those games should be wins at the moment. And then that huge matchup against Iowa. If they can knock off the Hawkeyes in the road, on the road in a Big Ten West crossover matchup, look out for that game Halloween weekend in Columbus against Ohio State. That might decide Penn State's fate because they think they need to win a Big Ten Conference championship to get into the college football playoff. Their only way to win a Big Ten Conference championship is to win the East. And to do that, you still have to knock off the odds-on favorite currently in the Ohio State Buckeyes. But the reason Penn State has been so good this year, Ariel, is that defense. Under Brent Pry, they have been incredible. That linebacking core of Jesse Luketa, Brandon Smith, Ellis Brooks, P.J. Mustafa up front, they have a great, great front seven, and it has paid dividends. And if Sean Clifford can continue on the trend that he showed this past Saturday against Auburn in that Mike Yurcich offense, and you have guys out in space like Jahan Dotson, and that running attack gets better with some of the depth they have in the backfield with guys like Noah Kane and Devin Ford and Kevon Lee, they will be a team to be a true contender in the Big Ten East Division. Still have to knock off Ohio State. The Buckeyes minus 140 to win the Big Ten. Penn State currently plus 500.
Ohio State 6-1 on September 1st to win the Natty. That line has now moved to 12-1, the same odds as Clemson, where Clemson was 4-1 and Ohio State was 6-1 September 1st. They're now even, like I mentioned, 12-1. Ben, Ohio State, you just mentioned, you think that Penn State would have to beat them in some kind of Big Ten championship game, most likely, in order to get themselves into the playoff race. How much do you think we've seen Ohio State and identified who they are, or do you still think that Ohio State has a lot of ground to make up and a lot of, not even ground to make up, but a lot of identifying, like they have to find their identity?
They certainly do. Ohio State has a ton of work to do. I'm not so concerned about the young redshirt freshman quarterback in C.J. Stroud. I still think just with all the weapons he has at his disposal and Travion Henderson, the freshman running back, has been incredible for Ohio State. You still have Chris Olave. You still have Garrett Wilson. You still have Jackson Smith and Jigba. You have so many weapons at your offensive disposal. Ohio State needs to focus on that defense, who gave up over 500 yards of total offense this past week to Tulsa. At home, in Columbus, they need to figure out what is happening defensively for Ohio State if they are going to make up ground in the college football playoff picture. And the reason that Ohio State and Clemson now are in quadruple digits at plus 1,200 is because both of those teams have suffered a loss already in the non-conference slate. Both of those teams have not looked good in the games outside of that, and both of those teams have zero room for error if they are going to make the college football playoff. You look at the two teams at the top, coming out of the SEC right now, Alabama and Georgia with the shortest odds to win a college football playoff national championship at 2-1 plus 200. Again, equivocate that to the SEC. Alabama is a minus 175 favorite to win an SEC title. Georgia actually has tons of value in the SEC market, not so much in the college football playoff national championship market, because UGA at plus 200 to win the SEC with a one-game scenario against Alabama, as things are indicating right now, tons of value on Georgia at plus 200. But even Ariel, that's an indication from the FanDuel Sportsbook that if Georgia is plus 200 to win their own conference with the same exact odds to win the national championship, that's an indication that Georgia will be a part of the Final Four in that college football playoff. So keep an eye on those two teams at the top of the market right now, two of the favorites to win the SEC.
That Georgia-Clemson game was just huge for Georgia to be able to prove themselves in that game and say, hey, even if we lose to Alabama at some point, we still don't have to worry about being that two-loss team coming out of the SEC. Coming up next, it is a mid-major, Matt. We're going to continue the conversation looking ahead to this week's lines in college football. We'll look ahead to the NFL in addition to, of course, strikeout props. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back on the Morning After on Sports Grid. It is SiriusXM, Channel 204, with Ben Stevens. I'm Ariel Epstein. We welcome in mid-major Matt Josephs to the show. We're going to talk some college football, NFL, Major League Baseball. First, let's start with college football. Matt, every week you come on the show, you and Ben tend to disagree on something. What was that something from last week, if any, that you feel you maybe had like, oh, Ben, I don't know, because I know that there's a bet coming this week for you two.
I don't know what our disagreement was last week. I mean, no. It was probably something Big Ten related. I don't know. I don't think we did. I probably just came on, took my usual gratuitous shot at the Big Ten, and then I kind of went on with my segment.
So what is it this week?
That generally is what
happens. What is it this week? There's a big one.
Matt, go ahead.
This week is that the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers are going to beat Indiana and show Michael Penix what a real quarterback is with Bailey Zappa under center and Tyson Helton as their head coach. I'm big on Western Kentucky this week. Indiana's a little wounded after the Cincinnati game, a game they could have won. They've got their conference opener next week, a game that's way more important. And Western Kentucky coming off that bye, 2 weeks to study this offense. I like my Toppers this week to upset Indiana in this one.
If you follow mid-major Matt right there, the Hilltoppers plus 250 on the money line, getting 8.5 points at home against IU. Matt and I have our own personal wager, which we will discuss the ramifications of right now. Matt, can you let the people know what is on the line personally between us, not financially, but personally for this matchup between WKU and Indiana?
So if Indiana somehow wins this game, Ben is going to force me to watch a Big Ten game without falling asleep, which is hard because anytime I turn the Big Ten on, I want to, you know, put myself to sleep. And if Western Kentucky wins, then Ben has to dip into the world of the Group of Five, which is where some of the better football is being played. I know it's kind of corny, but this is what we decided and this is what we shall do.
I cannot wait, Ariel, by the way, for mid-major Matt to watch Purdue Northwestern at the end of October and like a 12 p.m. Eastern kickoff on ESPN2. He's got to wake up bright and early just to watch Northwestern and Purdue combined for 17 points in the first half. It is going to be incredible. I cannot wait. Indiana, by the way, -8.5. Book it. They're going to win by double digits. Tywan Mullen's going to pick off whatever Western Kentucky's quarterback's name is like four times. Ariel, take it away. We can get the rest of his thoughts on the rest of this college football board for week number four.
It's funny because Matt's not giving away anything out of the Big Ten. Let's go to the ACC. You're looking at Wake Forest and Virginia's matchup. What do you like there?
So it's interesting because Virginia last week, I mean, I think I even said it on the show last week, I liked Virginia +9 because I figured that they had a solid defense and that North Carolina was a bit of a, you know, a paper tiger, or at least early on, because they had some weapons that they were still trying to develop. There was an offense that hadn't been very spectacular. Well, of course, they racked up 700 yards and they crushed Virginia last week. So now you've got a Cavalier team that has shown they can win at home so far this season with their victories over Illinois of the Big Ten and William & Mary of the CAA. And then you've got this Wake Forest team, which honestly, I could say I don't know anything about Wake Forest. They took care of business in three straight home games. They beat three bad teams at home in a row. And it's almost like they're in the same situation Virginia was last week. First road game of the season. Wake and Virginia play a lot of close games. And now, granted, because of the Atlantic and the Coastal, they don't play as much. Dave Clawson, highly respected coach. They have a very good offense in terms of Wake Forest. But I think we're getting some value here on Virginia. I think this is a team that knows how to win at home. Now, the 4 points isn't the best. So what you may want to do is maybe tie a money line bet in with another short favorite somewhere else, whether it's in college or the NFL. I think Virginia wins this game. They take care of business at home because I don't trust Wake Forest in their first true road game of the season. Their defense is just okay, and they haven't really been tested by any of their first three opponents. Brennan Armstrong will change that. Virginia's offense should be able to do whatever they want in this game.
Yeah, Matt, I look at the total for that game on Friday night, 68.5 between the Cavaliers and the Demon Deacons. You mentioned Brennan Armstrong, who has been one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football so far in this young season. Sam Hartman on the other side for Wake Forest, also leading a pretty dynamic offense. What would you make of that total at 68.5 for Friday night's game?
It seems a little high. It seems just a little bit high, but it's one of those things where I don't know necessarily if you can take the under, because these two offenses, if they succeed as much as they do, then this thing should sail over the total. It's just if there's a couple stops. I think Virginia's defense is better than what they did in Chapel Hill. I don't think they're giving up 50 points to anybody once again the rest of the season. Then again, they're not playing any offenses, I think, right up there. They got Notre Dame, whose offense is not as good. They've got Miami, whose offense can be good, but we've seen that Miami's inconsistent. So I don't think Virginia's giving up 50. The question is, are they giving up 30? And can they score 30? I definitely feel better that Virginia can score the 30 than allow the 30. So I would lean to the under, but it's not one of those things I would take, because it's one of those things where it's 14-7 the first quarter and you're like, oh, crap, what the hell did I do?
Yeah, I like the approach there. And we were talking about this before with those futures odds, because the futures market has moved against Clemson. It went from 4-1 to now 12-1 on Clemson to win the national championship. How much should we be fading Clemson at this point?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, it's still Clemson. Their defense is still pretty good. But if you look at the numbers for Uiagalelei, it's just really ugly. I mean, they've got one touchdown pass, and it was against the FCS team that they played. They've allowed 7 sacks against Georgia. Their numbers offensively are just abysmal. 2 completions of more than 20 yards this season. They probably had that the first 2 drives last year with Trevor Lawrence under center. But the thing is for Clemson is they need style points. The rest of their schedule is not going to provide anything. And here's the thing. We saw last year with the Coastal Carolina BYU game getting scheduled in the spur of the moment. If I'm Clemson, I'm calling up UConn and buying my way out of that game and finding somebody, anybody of any sort of substance to play in that. Now, the question is, can you find somebody who's good enough to help your resume? The problem is it's conference time. Most teams are not available. I did ironically actually notice Alabama has a non-conference game that day as well, if they could easily buy their way out of it. But why would Alabama want to play Clemson? They don't need to. Their conference provides plenty of opportunities. This comes down to the NC State part, and we don't trust NC State. I've talked about on this show, their win total over, I was like one of the most bet-on things amongst all the sharps, and that game last week certainly took a little bit of shine off. I mean, look at what they did in Mississippi State. They're a better team than Mississippi State, and they laid a massive egg. The number's big. I would lean to NC State, but then next week when I come on the show and say, man, why did I trust NC State as Clemson wins 14 by 14 or 17 points, then we'll know you just can't trust NC State in a big situation. But the lean is definitely there. The one thing to worry about with NC State, that Peyton Wilson injury that took him out for the season, he was the heart of their defense. And that's a pretty big thing, especially with a Clemson team that likes to run the ball with the Shipley kid.
Clemson, a 9.5-point road favorite against NC State in a huge game for the Tigers in that confidence on Saturday afternoon. A college football game tomorrow night as well, Matt. Not just the NFL on Thursday, but college football. Actually a pretty enticing game, in my opinion. Appalachian State hosting Marshall, a 7.5-point favorite. How do you approach that matchup?
I think it's a slight overreaction based off of what Marshall did last week against East Carolina. Yeah, they blew a big lead. Yeah, the defense did not show up. But I feel like this is a team that's going to be ready to go. Last year, they won this game 17-7 at home. You're getting a touchdown and a slightly bit more with the hook with a defense that's one of the best in the country and with an offense that certainly knows how to move the ball. Now, Appalachian State coming off the Miami game a couple weeks ago, you know, this is a team that's certainly been tested so far this season. But anytime you can give me a competent defense – plus 7.5 in this game, I think it's a very big overreaction considering what happened to Marshall last week. I'll probably end up taking the 7.5. I may look at some team total unders here. I got to take a look at that because this is a Marshall team that has only allowed more than 21 points twice in like the last 2.5 years or something. Appalachian State's offense is good, but I feel like Marshall's defense is going to be playing with pride in this one after the way they kind of let that East Carolina game slip away.
Yeah, saw a lot of my East Carolina people all hyped up about that one. Mid-major Matt Joseph's here on The Morning After, as he is every Wednesday, breaking down the slate for the weekend. Let's jump into the NFL. Some of the games that caught your eye, first one, of course, you're looking at your Philadelphia Eagles going up against the Dallas Cowboys. How do you see this NFC East matchup playing out?
I mean, look, I understand why Dallas is favored because their offenses looked good, although their coaching, you have to downgrade them based off the coaching. Who plays for a 56-yard field goal on the road? Like, I don't understand it. And Mike McCarthy, I feel like every week makes one decision. Now, look, Nick Sirianni didn't have a good week either. The Philly special on fourth down from, like, the 3-yard line was a horrendous call. But I feel like you're going to get that with a rookie coach. So when you have two questionable coaches, you have to go on the field. Dallas's defense is the worst unit of the four. It probably goes Dallas's offense, Philly's defense, Philly's offense, then Dallas's defense. Home field advantage means a lot to the Dallas Cowboys, but I know there's going to be a lot of Eagles fans that travel there. It's a huge stadium. I feel like that the Eagles could be a little bit live in this one, especially if you want to look at for some sort of live bet into the game when it starts. Jalen Hurts is going to be a problem for Dallas's defense. If Philly commits to the run with Miles Sanders and keeps Dallas's offense off the field, I think that's going to be big here. I think the Eagles potentially are live. And it's not like a homer bet as I sit here with my Eagles pennant behind me. I actually genuinely think the Eagles are the side that you should probably lean towards, despite the fact that Dallas is home and Dallas is favored in this game.
Philly, a 3.5-point road underdog in Dallas, that game on Monday night. Matt, I do have to give you some credit. You told me earlier in the summer Philadelphia's defense this year would be much improved. I laughed at you. They only gave up 6 points to the Atlanta Falcons in week number one, only 17 points in a pretty impressive performance against the Niners this past Sunday in Philadelphia. I mentioned that game against the Falcons week number one. Atlanta only scored 6 points. Their offense looks abysmal so far to start off this season. A 3-point road underdog are the Atlanta Falcons against the New York Giants on Sunday. The Giants also winless. Who do you think gets their first win this Sunday, and who covers that 3-point spread?
See, it's funny because I laughed at you when you said the Giants were a good defense, and they've played well. I mean, they probably should have won that game in Washington. There were some bad things that happened to the Giants. I think this line's a gift almost. I feel like the Giants are the side here. You're getting a Falcons team outside the dome, a Matt Ryan who's just not what he used to be, a Giants offense that has shown a little bit. Of course, everybody's unhappy. Galladay's, you know, moaning on the sidelines. Kadarius Toney's taking to Instagram to basically show his frustrations, even though the coach says, oh, that message wasn't about football. Yeah, of course it was, coach. I'm not a big Joe Judge guy. I don't think he's a very good coach, but I feel like 3 points, you're essentially telling me that on a neutral field, these two teams are even. I don't think that's the case. I think the Giants blow them out. I think I may actually put my survivor pick this week as the Giants because I'm just that confident that they're the better team in this situation.
Whoa, Matt. I was sweating the Browns last week already when Baker Mayfield almost went off the field for his dislocated shoulder that I thought was never going to be popped back in, but he was fine. Yeah, I'm not willing to put a survivor on the Giants just yet, but that is why we have you on the show, because you find these edges and you're able to pick out some of these teams that no one would see coming. Only a minute left. You are crushing the strikeout props this year in Major League Baseball. Where are you looking today?
I mean, we've talked about it every week, fade the Cubs. I'm going with the Ryan kid again. Now, the weather is probably potentially an issue. It may not even play today. The winds are blowing in severely from the outfield, so I don't see a lot of runs here. Ryan's Major League debut came against these Cubs. He had 5 strikeouts. The number, once again, is in an area that I like to play. So I'm going to fade the Cubs and go with the K-prop over against them and taking the Ryan kid on the road, and hopefully he does the same thing that he did last time.
Love it. Always finding those edges. Always finding the players that no one's targeting. Mid-major Matt Josephs. Catch him on In-Game Live here on Sports Grid every weekend, breaking down games. We'll see you next week, Matt.
Thanks so much.
Coming up next, we are going to finish our second hour with buy or sell. Yeah, buy or sell today. Always a question mark. Again, not sure what we're buying or selling. We'll figure it out in the commercial break. Ben's going to buy or sell something. Maybe it's this whole bet that he's got going on with mid-major Matt. We've got a whole another hour of our show coming up. We're giving out MLB picks coming up next hour and a few more great guests. You're listening here on SiriusXM, Channel 204, the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out hour two on the morning after on Sports Grid. It is SiriusXM, Channel 204. With Ben Stevens, I'm Arielle Epstein. Let's get now to our segment, Buy or Sell. Today's Buy or Sell is a slight tease because we have Benny and the Bets coming up on Friday. One of the topics discussed is going to be this one. The New York Giants and New York Jets, two winless teams. Are the Giants going to be the first team to get a win this year here in the New York tri-state area? Ben, are you buying or selling the Giants get a win first?
It is a question that we asked the good people of New York City in Bryant Park yesterday, going around the park on a lovely afternoon in New York, talking about terrible football. We saw some people so depressed they were crying out, why? Why is this happening? But we asked them anyway, of these 0-2 teams in the New York, New Jersey area, which is another factor we dive into, who wins first? Well, the FanDuel Sportsbook has the Giants as 3-point home favorites this week. The New York Jets are 10.5-point underdogs against the Denver Broncos. Thus, the New York Giants will get a win this season before the New York Jets. That is my astute opinion. Also, just kind of copying what the FanDuel Sportsbook has to say.
Yeah, the FanDuel Sportsbook has a lot to say about the Giants, who moved their line from -1 to -3 against the Atlanta Falcons this weekend. The Falcons have looked miserable, but the Giants haven't looked much better. Maybe Saquon Barkley's a little bit healthier this week. Maybe there's more connections between Kenny Golladay and Daniel Jones. I do like the Giants to get a win more than I like the Jets after their rookie quarterback, Zach Wilson, last week threw, what, 5 interceptions in that game? Ugh, yeah, not willing to put my money on the New York Jets. But coming up next, we have hour number 3 of our show. We're giving out Major League Baseball picks. We've got Brady Tinker. We're going to talk NFC East football in addition to Cam Rodgers, because the Ryder Cup is coming up on Friday, and you've got to get every pick, every prop. You know that Cam's got that all covered for you. You're listening here on SiriusXM, Channel 204, the Sports Grid Network. With Ben Stevens, I'm Ariel Epstein. Alex Fasano coming up now with your Sports Grid news update. Stay here on the grid, always giving you the edge, especially here for the next hour on The Morning After.
Dispensing little pearls of sports strategy wisdom like gumballs from the machine where your dad used to take you for a haircut when you were a kid.